because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to Podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here in the Hockey Central studio ahead of Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey this evening. Doubleheader coming your way in Sportsnet 1, Detroit and Washington. And then we turn our attention to Edmonton. Jean Prince Bay hosting that one. The Oilers looking for a fifth straight win as they host the Nashville Predators. An incredible separation between the Oilers and their success rate between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. Getting more of that tonight. Glenn Healy will be in studio. He'll have a great display of why goaltenders are bigger today than they were back when he broke into the league. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean.
So he's going to explain that they're eating better?
No, why goalies? Because in the 70s, in the 80s, the 90s, goaltenders were 6'2".
Yeah.
Tall guy was 6'3". Now we're seeing Darling coming up 6'6", 6'7".
Is he going
to
use...
I think because they're not growing up next door to a power plant.
Last time he used Chera with Johnny Gaudreau, is he going to use Pekarina and Darren Pang?
We do have Pekarina tonight.
And Darren Pang?
I don't know about Darren Pang. How old is Heels? Or how tall is he? 5'10"?
Heels?
Yeah.
Not a chance. With his wife's shoes on, he's 5'10".
So that's all part of Hockey Central and Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey tonight. 12 games last night. You guys were both working in the studio, so it's a little difficult to keep track of everything that's going on when you're doing your respective games. But among the highlights last night, when you bounce around, a 1-0 victory for the Anaheim Ducks, and John Gibson goes in and performs against Scott Darling. Brent Seabrook mishandled at the blue line and a breakaway goal going the other way. You also had Pittsburgh coming out on top, and we'll chat with Mike Johnston, the Pittsburgh Penguins head coach, later in this show. Anaheim with that win in Chicago. Scott Niedermayer will stop by the program, Hall of Fame defenseman, on this show as well. Ottawa with a win, and Toronto shuts out Buffalo, and the Sabres outshoot Joffrey Leupel by 1. 10-9.
It's happened on a regular. It's happened on a regular basis with Buffalo this year. And you say it during the summer. You lose Ryan Miller in the trade in the spring. You still have some guys that were with this team. You've added a few bodies in Georges Gianta. You would have thought they would be close to the same team, but when you put up 10 shots and they've put up in that vicinity a couple other times, it's really ugly. And 11 of Myers after the game, Myers, Stafford, they're veterans there now. They're ticked off.
11 goals in 10 games, Nick.
Well, I think they lost a lot of presence with Ryan Miller, first and foremost, okay? Say what you will where he is. We still think he's an elite goaltender, as we've seen out of Vancouver, but...
But how does that translate into more shots at the other end?
Just the overall feel off that team, Darren.
Leadership.
I don't think that the expectations are there. And I know Georges is in there, but, you know...
Gianta's
there, but there was always...
Miller kept
an expectation. An expectation, right, with Ryan Miller there. And now that the goaltending isn't what it was a year ago, there's a real sense that they may not win 15 games this year.
There's a sour group in the room, too, about the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. I mean, team players hate that.
The fans are showing up at the rink with McDavid sweaters,
right, and
on.
And he's in town last week playing in a game in their building with 12,000 people in the game, you know, in the arena. I mean... To listen, and then Myers' name is out there way too much. Too many, you know, I don't know if there's any conversation with Tim and other GMs, but his name's out there a ton. It doesn't seem to want to go away. I know it would be a big asking price, but Stewart's name's out there. There's an unsettling situation.
What do they have? They have 3 first rounders in this draft coming up?
Yes.
They have 3. They're going to get better fairly quick here.
Yeah.
And they're going to end up with a franchise type of player with their
Definitely.
First pick.
Or second pick. Or third pick.
Yeah, exactly.
First, second, or third. No,
they're they're going to have to bite the bullet here. It's just, that's it. The fans are just going to have to suck it up
you,
in
Matt,
Buffalo.
Because I didn't expect them to be this uncompetitive, especially against a Maple Leaf team that's been really
right.
up and down and all over the place. How much credit do you give to Toronto for last?
It's not even about being competitive. You would think they'd be competitive, but you can't be embarrassing. And to get 10 shots against a team like Toronto, who has a history of giving up a ton of shots.
Yeah.
Toronto were under the gun that they had. They were desperate, as Randy Carlyle said post-game. Yeah. We were desperate for a home performance that was respectable. Yeah. And
it had to have been not just convincing.
Right.
And they were able to do that.
The shuffling of the line certainly worked.
Well,
against Buffalo.
Listen, is that the reason why they won 4-0?
I don't know.
No.
You know what?
No, they could have kept the lines the way they were before. They would have had a solid effort.
So we talked Gardner yesterday that something has to change with Gardner. He had the most ice time of any defenseman after the first period last night. Now, I would have thought after watching the game on the weekend where he was fairly soft in some defensive situations and not great, that he would have been hard-pressed to get ice time. But to lead the defense in ice time last night caught me off guard. And you know what? The kid, it's not a statement game by any means, but, I mean, Randy went with him. Randy went with him, and the kid was better.
Chat with Mike Johnson, Pittsburgh Penguins head coach, about his hockey club and what they've done to start the season with 5 wins in the first 8 games. But they stormed back against New Jersey last night. And
7 goals in a row, was it?
What do you think Martin Brodeur feels when he watches something like that?
You know, somebody asked me today about Schneider. I said, Schneider to me is Bernier. Neither one of them have yet shown they can be the guy. They both have expectations and they both have potential to be the guys, but both of them are similar to me. Bernier can get it done. I think Schneider can get it done, but Brodeur's sitting there with just a slight chuckle.
Yeah, I would hope that Marty's just past that whole thing, you know? I think it'd be a waste of time for Marty Brodeur to sit there and say, well, I should still be in Jersey.
But he probably is.
You think?
You know, not in a, you know, he's still,
I mean, could he have not looked in the crystal ball over the last few years and just pictured, you know, one day that scenario would not include me?
Except they're really...
Did he think it would go on forever?
No, but they're really proud guys. And Marty, not that he doesn't have a New Jersey tattooed on him, because he's been a Devil his whole career and he's been one of the major guys, and he and Lou have still a relationship, and he's going to end up working for them. He is a little unsettled right now, in my opinion. I think he'd be a little bit, hey.
It's familiar rhetoric coming from that camp. He's patient. He continues to be. It all has to make sense, not only looking to be a starter, but a situation to help a team and go all the way on and off the ice. So that's from his camp.
I guess I was a little surprised, and I've been saying, why wouldn't a couple of teams sign him? You know, why wouldn't Winnipeg take? He's not going to go there, I guess. And then when I see he wants to be a starter.
No, doesn't have to be a starter.
Oh,
to be a starter.
No, so that's changed.
But a situation to help a team go all the way on.
But he has a chance to be the guy.
Of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Which is good. It's easier to say that.
And that's statements from his camp in the last 36 hours.
Right.
It's easier to say that in March and April or June and July, but now he has to change in terms of what his mindset is joining another team. And
would he go to Winnipeg?
Well, you know what, Mac? He should.
Why wouldn't he?
Like,
why wouldn't? Okay. Wouldn't I would take if I'm Winnipeg? I let the kid go to the minors and play. Why not bring him into challenge and see if he can get you some wins?
Is it not clear?
But
now,
is he going to go there? I don't know.
If you want to play in the NHL this year, then just open it up to everybody. All scenarios. If he wants to put on a uniform, then sign anywhere. Just open it up and say, whoever's interested in a goaltender, I'm available. And that's it. You can't pick and choose at this point.
Who needs a goaltender? Like, I'm saying Winnipeg could use help in goal. Yeah. I'm not a Pavlik guy. I've never been. But with Pavlik and him, but I don't know. I don't know where Marty is. I don't know where he is or what he could be this year. But where else is there a situation?
But when you consider a statement like not looking to be a starter, but a situation to help a team go all the way on and off the ice.
All the way mean?
That all the way means the Stanley Cup.
Okay, but now I think it means get in the playoffs. Competitive team.
Yes.
I will only sign with a competitive team.
So what he should be saying
is, I want to sit a while then.
Yeah.
I want to help a team get in the playoffs and see where it goes.
I don't think that's all the way that Darren's talking about.
No, I agree. I agree it isn't.
Scott Niedermeyer is coming up, Anaheim Ducks assistant coach. Ask him.
He knows him pretty well.
If he thinks he should shut it down, or...
As I've said.
Whether Marty's doing the right thing.
How did Patrick Waugh end it?
With an Andrew Burnett overtime goal against the Minnesota Wild.
That was his last game, wasn't it? And he was...
He allowed a goal in his last shot.
He was planning on retiring going into that playoff series.
And never looked back.
And never looked back.
And never missed a beat.
As a matter of fact, I got a call from him about a week after that asking for one of our players to go to Quebec Ramparts before he was even announced in Quebec. That's how quick he made the transition.
Montreal beats the Calgary Flames in the shootout. So Carey Price can finally get rid of all this luggage on his shoulders about the troubles in Alberta. Another strong performance by the Flames, though.
Was he ever good last night, Carey Price? Mm-hmm. And the only reason the 2 points were there. But Calgary showed everybody that last year wasn't just a fluke, that they've got this high expectation for a work ethic and sticking to a plan. And you know what? It's a good point. It's a good point for Calgary, despite probably thinking that they should have had two.
I really like the mix of guys they got there, and it starts right with Giordano, Brody, Russell, that group on the back end.
Weidman.
I mean, that is a character.
Weidman now.
A character veteran.
Look at Weidman's numbers.
Yeah.
And especially considering the way he started the year with Bob Hartley and in the doghouse.
Overpaid, so everybody says, but he's performing well. Brody looks like he's got a chance to become a real player.
83 shots combined in the Philadelphia-LA Kings game. That was a fun end-to-end. Wild. Ray Emery was great. Jonathan Quick snaps at the end
on last night's Montreal-Calgary, and there's a knee-on-knee there. Tenorti, it was far from being a vicious Brian Marchment type of knee, but Matt Stajan is going to get looked at today, but there's a sense that he might be out a while here, guys.
And is that a suspendable?
As long as a month.
The knee come out a bit.
There's a good chance that he would get a call from the league. I know that they're busy with the in-person hearing with Moore, but I would suspect they're still debating on whether or not they're going to go further with Tenorti here or not. You know, it's twofold here. When you see a knee-on-knee this close, is that the sense is, number one, is Stajan now trying to jump around Tenorti, you know? And how much does that come into play? I said that I thought his right knee was out a little bit, but he's 6'6". He's a wide guy. He's got a wide stance. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm 50-50 on this one.
So I don't.
You saw it. What did you think?
I thought the knee came out a bit. I thought of the 5 minute major was the call. I don't see it as a suspension. I go back to Porter and in Vancouver a couple of years ago, where he got four games. I don't see it as close. I see it as maybe a fine.
Scott Niedermeyer and Mike Johnston, an assistant coach and a head coach, coming up on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. Starting to get worried about the Carolina Hurricanes. And
have you
whether
raised this with Ron Francis at all, your concerns?
Well,
you're worrisome?
How far does this go into the season?
And what step do you take? You know, there's been the stall conversation out there. How do they trade Eric Staal? He comes back last night and plays. He's been pretty durable for them since he had an injury. I think in the last 4 years, he's played a lot. His numbers dipped a little last year because he had such a horrendous start to the season, not scoring in his first 14 or something. I don't know where you go here. I don't think you can do anything until you get Jordan back and say, okay, now where are we as a team? But how do you... Carolina's not the market. If you walk in and say, we're going to tear this down, I'm not sure that market is what ready to handle that. I mean, the team...
Since
they won the Cup, I think they've been in one playoff round.
And Ron Francis should know that better than anybody, right? Because when he was in Hartford...
Yes.
The moment that thing dismantled with himself, Mike Liut, Dineen,
you
Tippett. No, I was way after that. But it was over for that really organization. But, and that, in that town, it was over. They never forgave them for moving Ron Francis.
Ronnie Francis
Samuelson
was the same player as Eric Staal is to the Carolina Hurricanes. They also included Samuelson in that trade, and they got back Zarly Zalapsky. And yes. Who else?
And John Cullen.
Yes. And there was some other guy that I didn't know played in the league.
And Cullen, John Cullen
was a good player.
He was a good player. You know, he's a top point getter.
But they're going home.
This is a tough decision for Ronnie Francis here, isn't it? It is. What do you do with this?
Well, they're going home, and they get Arizona, L.A., and Columbus in their next three.
They better hope Bobrovsky's not back. Bobrovsky is going to miss three for sure. So I'm not sure if that would include that one.
It's just, it's nasty. And when it starts to snowball like this.
And in a market like that, mm-hmm. you can go to 8,000 fans really quick. So, you know, they never expected this.
It's not a good time to be selling your team, is it? Chopping your team around?
Especially for $420 million, I think I saw as the price tag on it.
You know, You're going to get there eventually where you're going to have some serious conversations about moving Staal.
It has to happen.
Regardless of what you think and what effect it could have on your market. But if things continue to go this way for Carolina right into the trade deadline, how do you not have a serious conversation about trading this guy?
And he has to give total approval for.
Well, at that point.
With the no movement.
Don't you think it'd be enough is enough?
And then you've got to reconsider and say, if I'm not mistaken, it goes to $9.5 million next year, salary. Not on the cap, but on the salary. And the other thing is, is he going to re-sign there?
Three-star time, and then we'll get to a break. And when we come back, we'll chat with Mike Johnston, Pittsburgh Penguins head coach, and Scott Niedermeyer, Anaheim Ducks assistant coach, Hall of Fame defenseman. Let's roll the video and let's get right at it. Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. The first star, or my star, shouldn't say first star, just my selection, simply put, John Gibson, who was so bad in the first game of the year against the Pittsburgh Penguins in his hometown, but came back last night on the road against the Chicago Blackhawks, stopped 38 shots, and outdueled Scott Darling. And produced a 1-0 shutout win. And I can't imagine what that's going to do for his confidence. So the Anaheim Ducks win, with all these offensive players, win in this defensive showdown. Nick?
Did the Calgary-Montreal game got a chance to really focus in on Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau? And there's my first star.
Yes.
Finished with over 16 minutes. Very dangerous player. High skill.
And you debated this guy a couple of weeks ago.
I didn't debate it.
Yes, you did.
You know, we know he's not going to grow, but he's growing on me.
Yes, and I think I may have said, give him a chance.
You know what, Mac? I'm not sure what type of player he'll ultimately be, but you know, when you're talking about power play or a four on four situation or overtime, this guy is a very dangerous player. High skill. Again, I mean,
16 minutes plus last night.
16 minutes plus. He's not going to be Fleury. He won't even be Marty St. Louis. He's too light. I'd love if he had a mean streak in him, or you know, he carved someone's eyes out if they messed with him. But I don't think you'll ever get there.
He's
so
got,
can he be a 15, 20 goal scorer? Can he be a 40 goal scorer? You think he's got the potential to be a 40 goal scorer?
I'll tell you what. With his vision and his hands and his acceleration.
Yeah.
I think we got to be really careful what we say he's going to be. This is a kid that has shocked people at every level. And when I talk to guys that have watched him a lot the last couple of years, they said, be careful what you say about this guy because he has a chance to get done. And I think he plays eventually at 180.
And
I think he'll be at 180 eventually.
180?
Well, he's probably 165 right now.
150, I think.
Mac, your star.
Brad Richardson. This is a little
usually
off.
You stop at Richards.
Yeah, usually I would say Brad Richards. I'll leave that for hometown hockey this weekend. This is a guy that got his second goal of the season, his fifth point. He's become a real important guy. They've had a real problem getting some scoring out of their third line in Vancouver. He played his tail off last night. He was involved in scrums. He scored the first goal of the game, and he was around the puck. His line of Matthias and Cassian was a real important line. I think he's a really valuable third-line type of guy, and he had a heck of a game last night for me.
Vancouver Canucks victorious over the still winless Carolina Hurricanes as Vancouver has a nice little run going to start the year. It's Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. When we continue, Scott Niedermeyer of the Anaheim Ducks Hall of Famer. What does he think of Martin Brodeur and the plans by the future Hall of Fame goaltender? And Mike Johnston, the coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are 5-2-1 to start the year. That's when we continue on Hockey Central at noon on the NHL Network in the United States, worldwide on sportsnet.ca.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Here we are back at Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, simulcast around the world on sportsnet.ca as well as in NHL dressing rooms across North America. Darren Millard along with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean. Our thoughts, our prayers go out to the Howe family as Mr. Hockey battles, suffered a stroke on the weekend, and we're hoping and praying for a recovery there. He's in tough, his family, talking about this being the biggest battle. Let's slide over to a Hall of Fame defenseman and Scott Niedermeyer, assistant coach now of the Anaheim Ducks, coming off a 1-0 win in Chicago over the perennial powerhouse Chicago Blackhawks, in which Brent Seabrook bungled a play at the blue line, and down they went, and they scored the winning goal. So, Scott, when you look at a play like that, what's your advice to Brent Seabrook?
It happens. You play enough hockey, something like that's going to happen. So, you know, we were lucky we were able to take advantage of it. It was great to see Gibson play as well as he did last night for us.
Yeah, it looks like a real turning point confidence-wise for somebody like that that had a rough start.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, giving him the start in Pittsburgh, Bruce thought in his hometown it'd be, you know, something he'd really be excited about, which he was, but it didn't kind of go as planned. We didn't play very well. Pittsburgh did. And as a young guy, you like to see him build his confidence as a player, and I'm sure last night helped in that department.
Are you trying to give Bruce help with his patience with goaltending? Because in Washington, and when he got to Anaheim, there was like five goalies there, and now you're down to two. Are you trying to just say, Bruce, just back off the goalies a little bit and be patient with them?
Yeah, I think that's going to be important for us in the situation we're in with, you know, two younger goalies. Obviously, Freddie Anderson isn't quite as young as Gibson, but you know, confidence is a big part of anybody's game, and I'm sure as a goaltender, it's maybe even more important. And, you know, us as coaches and the team as a whole, when they feel we believe in those guys, I'm sure it goes a long way. So it's important that we handle both these guys right this year for sure.
Hey, Scott, pretty rare that we would see a legitimate contending team in the NHL, and especially in the Western Conference, go with two guys that don't have the reputation or the experience that you usually see in net to challenge. So was there a different feeling coming into this season that, you know, the attention to detail or just insulate these guys as best that we can?
You know, I think if that is a byproduct of it, I think that'll be a good thing, because I think that is really sort of what our team needs to take the next step, is to realize that all the little details matter, building good habits now during the regular season. When it comes to a tough game seven against a good opponent, that they're, you know, ingrained deeply in the way we play. And if that helps, having young goalies back there, you know, maybe it will make us a better team.
Little more than young goalies, you've got three guys on your back end in Vatanen, Lindholm, and Fowler, who were relatively inexperienced kids. How's their progress, Scott, and what's the upside for these three guys?
Well, it's, you know, I've enjoyed as an older guy now, you know, behind the bench or up in the stands watching these guys and trying to help them develop as players. It's fun. I mean, they obviously have a lot of talent. They each sort of have different strengths as players, and but they're all eager and willing to learn and listen, and it's a lot of fun. But you're right. I mean, you know, they got some playoff experience last year, which hopefully helps. And the game definitely is more of a young guy's game now than it was 10 years ago. And we're confident in the group we have back there that, you know, we're pretty deep. I feel we can sort of roll the three pairs pretty consistently. And I think we have a lot of confidence in it.
Pittsburgh Penguin head coach Mike Johnson coming up on Hockey Central at noon. We're with Hall of Fame defenseman Scott Niedermeyer. You took some time mulling over the retirement possibilities when you went through it at the end of your career. Marty's sitting back and he's waiting, and he wants to play for a team, help them on and off the ice. And he's trying to be patient. Have you talked to him, for one, and any advice for Martin Brodeur?
I haven't talked to him in the last few months for sure, but we have talked before. I think having gone through it now, you know, I just respect each individual guy's decision. It's a tough decision. I mean, it's a big decision. It's not like you can kind of go back to it like you could maybe another job, you know, 5-10 years from now and pick up where he left off. And Marty's a competitor. He loves the game. So I'm not surprised that he wants to continue to try and be out there and doing what he loves to do.
So,
you know, we'll see how it works out. I hope it works out for him.
Would you recommend to Bob Murray to bring him in with these two kids and be a guy that could take you to the Stanley Cup? Because that's the situation he's looking for, obviously. And as a friend, why wouldn't you do that for him?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I have that much clout here, but, you know, I think we are probably evaluating our situation, you know, every couple weeks, every week, and to see where our two young guys are at. And it is a bit of a challenge. We feel we need both these guys to see game action, whether it's here or in Norfolk. You know, Gibson went down there and played a couple games a week or so ago, and I think we realize that that's important. So we'll, I'm sure, continue to evaluate where we're at with our goalies.
So you say there's a chance then?
I guess,
yeah.
There's always a chance, isn't there?
Scott's getting ticked off.
Scott Niedermeyer is with us on Hockey Central. Darren Millard, Doug McLean, and Nick Kyprios.
There's no friends in this league anymore, Scott. It's all business, bud.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, we'll see. I mean, Marty obviously knows how to win, and that's what he is looking for, again, that feeling of, you know, hoisting the Stanley Cup. So I do really hope it works out for him.
Chatting with Scott Niedermeyer on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on Sportsnet, Mike Johnson, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, coming up. So where are you at the stage of your coaching career now? And are you making any decisions? Or are you in your head thinking a head coach job down the road? Or where are you?
I've been fortunate that I've been given this sort of unique opportunity here for the last couple of years, 3 years now, including this year, and I've enjoyed it a lot. I mean, you know, to be part of that and trying to help the team, you know, have success. Like I was, you know, we're talking about the young D-men. I really enjoy that, but I also have the opportunity for young boys at home doing their thing and being a bit more part of that. You know, whether it's a hockey tournament here or a ski trip during winter break or whatever it may be. So I'm quite content where I'm at right now. No big plans in the near future. But obviously kids grow up and things change and who knows what could happen down the road.
Hey, Scott, last week we had conversations about guys like Stamkos and whether or not they've got the ability in today's game to score 60 or 70 goals. Corey Perry's right there. In terms of your whole career, where would he rank as a pure shooter on your list?
Yeah, he'd be up near the top. Obviously, another guy that recently played with would be Tamu. That could fill the net at will. They did it definitely in different fashion. Corey's got his unique style. Where he's always around the net, causing trouble one way or another, whether it's scoring a goal or falling on a goalie or getting behind a defenseman, whatever it may be. But he'd be right up there. He loves to score goals, and that's I guess the one common thing you see with guys that are able to do that is they live to score, and they'll do whatever they can to do that. And it's fun to watch. He's a valuable player for us, obviously.
Not every guy of that caliber of talent do you throw in the line, and he can fall in a goalie. Scott, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it, and continued success with the Anaheim Ducks.
Good luck, Scott.
Thanks.
And that mean streak, right? That
dirty.
Viciousness.
Dirty.
I love it.
Here's Mike Johnston, the head coach. Head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, coming off a victory last night in which they scored 8 goals. And but the shocking part, when you look at it, you think that's an easy game, Mike. But you guys were in a big-time hole before you erupted.
Yeah, we got down early with that first 10-second goal, and then we're behind in the second period 3-1. And so we've had some different scenarios in the first part of the year here, which is good for us as a coaching staff to sort of see where our team is at, and having to come from behind and sort of wait out until we got an opportunity, which we did on the power play. We were fortunate to get a 5-on-3 goal, and then that sort of created momentum.
But the type of game that you expected on a nightly basis when you signed as a head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, right, Mike?
No, not really. Yeah, I know how tight this league is and how close the games are from night to night, so you rarely get a night where you're going to capitalize on your opportunity, sort of like we did last night. And New Jersey is, as you guys know, a very good team defensively, and it was just a matter of our power play got us rolling, and then we were fortunate to get a few other bounces.
You see Peters in Carolina, you're feeling pretty good about yourself right now, aren't you?
No, I know. You look at different teams, Doug, around the league, as you guys have, and I'm sure for Bill down there with the injuries they've had to start the season, he's much like us in training camp. We had so many guys out in training camp. I was excited just to start the season because we had everybody in our lineup. And so I'm sure Carolina, now with Stahl coming back, once they get everybody in their lineup, they'll start to roll.
Big trade. Hornquist comes in and settles in, and looks like a real nice fit with Sid and Kunitz. Spaulding is a guy that you've used in a lot of situations, and looks like you really like this guy.
Yeah, you're right about we acquired both those players in the James Neal trade, and Spaulding is a type of player that, as a coach, you feel really comfortable with on the bench because he can play center. He didn't play a lot in Nashville, but he has played over his career quite a bit, and we used him in training camp because we were without Crosby and Malkin, so we got some reps at center. But I can put him on the right side, the left side. He kills penalties. He's responsible defensively, and I think he still has a pretty good upside offensively. And then for sure, Hornquist has had a good start to the season. He's a very direct player in his game. He's good around the net. He takes a lot of shots. His shot volume is way up there. And I think that for that line, he really complements the line.
Hey, Mike, we all know that guys like Crosby and Malkin are special players, but we don't have the luxury now of watching them on a daily basis. What are some of the things that you've seen now that might have even surprised you or you didn't really know of before when it comes to especially Crosby in this instance?
Yeah, well, with both those guys, the one thing for me that really struck me was how hard they practice and how hard they work at their game. We go out for practices, and Doug, I'm sure you knew when you were coaching, is that at certain times of the year, you're going to really have to manage your schedule because of the demands of the games and how long you practice. Where I came from the junior level last year, it didn't really matter if guys were a little bit tired. You had long-term goals. You're trying to get the guys to the next level. But how hard these guys practice, Malkin and Crosby, on a daily basis, I really have to watch the length of practice because we want to practice hard. We want to practice intense. But I've got to shorten the length a little bit because of how hard they practice, which is a great sign that your leaders practice that hard.
Brandon Sutter, tried him on the second line. He's been a good third line guy. What
where do you see him fitting in, Mike? I mean, can you get him into that top six group, or do you see him being that really solid number three guy?
Well, my goal for Brandon coming into the year was to try and get a player with him that could be a really good complementary player, and it proved it in training camp that through the exhibition games that Bo Bennett and Sutter work really well together. And Bennett got the injury, so that threw a wrinkle into the plans. So I bumped Sutter up, put Malkin on the wing to start the year just so Gino wouldn't have to play down low and really grind it out through the first couple of games down low defensively. And Sutter's so good defensively. But really, he is a second-line center in all reality, except with our team, we have two great centers in the top two spots. But Sutter is one guy who, if you look at his minutes, he plays the same minutes as Sid or Gino. He just plays a little bit different role on a nightly basis where he has to face the other team's top guys a lot.
Mike Johnson is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, who have 5 wins in their first 8 games. A first-year head coach behind that bench. How do you set goals when you take over a team like this?
Well, the interesting thing was there were a lot of changes, including the coaching staff, a little bit with management, and then for sure with player personnel as well. So our big thing coming in was just to set an identity for the group and to develop the chemistry with the team. And so as any other team, you're working with that group over the first month or 2 months on the chemistry. And as the team gels together, then everything else starts to flow. But we've had a template of how we want to play, and it is a process in doing that. But it's a great group to coach, as I've mentioned, with the leadership in our core group, and then also with the players that we have surrounding them. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a great group to work with.
Mike, there seems to be this ongoing saga when it comes to Marc-Andre Fleury, and almost to the point where now it doesn't matter what kind of regular season he has, where he is on the wins list. It's just all about getting this team back to a Stanley Cup final or winning it. As a new guy coming in, do you try to pick up the speed of what's transpired with him the last few years, or do you just block it out and say, it's his start, go play, and I'll worry about today and tomorrow, that's it?
Well, a little bit of both, because certainly as a staff coming in, we took a look at what's happened in the past with the team and with individual players, and you recognize that. But the key thing, I think, is when you have a schedule with 82 games, you have to worry about every game and week to week, because to get a good spot in the playoffs, to be prepared for the playoffs, it's how you play during the season. And yeah, there may be some playoff series in the past that Marc-Andre hasn't played as well in, but there's other playoff series where he has. So if we can build good habits throughout the year, that we look at them and we look at our team and we say, if we play that way right now in October, November, those are going to be the habits we're going to need when it comes playoff time, then we're in a good place.
Before we let you go, just want to ask, who was your goaltender when you won the national championship at UNB?
And we didn't win the national championship.
Oh, no,
when I
he
was
didn't
there.
Win. He helped
Doug
build
McClain
it. Okay.
That won the national championship,
yes,
at UNB.
He helped build it
because they have a reunion every summer, and the guy that keeps talking about you, I just wanted you to mention his name because he mentions your name all the time, and Chris Summers.
Yeah,
well, he tells
sure.
people he won yeah. a national championship, so because it flows that UNB yeah. have won a lot. You see, and they make a lot of noise at our beach. Just. Yeah, I'd love to keep talking about Chris Summers. He's a great kid. But anyway, you can't win with Fleury, with Kiprios and Healy. I almost had to pull my hair out the other night trying to debate it with them that you guys are going to sign him. You're going to go with him. You guys believe in him. So don't try to sell it with these guys because it's a waste of time.
Yeah, the most important thing for me, though, is the players. They believe in him. You know, he is a glue guy on this team, and the players really rally around him. They play for him. They play hard for him. So that's a great sign. And now we have to, as Nick mentioned, we don't want to focus on the playoffs. We want to focus on what he's doing now and how that's going to reflect when it comes playoff time.
Okay, let's go back to Chris Summers now again.
Kippy, do you want to respond?
No, no, no. I'll just dust myself off
and tell your buddy Healy the same thing.
Being thrown under the bus by Mac. That's all.
Okay. Let's
let's go back to Chris Summers, how great a goalie he was.
He was a good goaltender, but he's got a lot of respect for you as well, Mike. Congratulations on the start.
Good luck,
and,
Mike.
Thanks for taking the time for us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Always easier, too, when you score 7 straight goals and come off a win. Like,
I like Marc-Andre.
No, you guys were...
No, I just...
I showed a goal on the wall that you and Healy said was a bad goal, and people couldn't believe it.
That was Heels that thought that...
People, no. Him, too.
No, I
people couldn't believe you guys thought that was a bad goal.
All I said was, I would have liked to save there. I thought that was a savable shot. That's
but it wasn't a bad goal. Andrew, our great guy upstairs, couldn't believe it.
Some league news.
Have you seen your track record with goalies over your career?
Marc Denis, Ron Tugnutt.
That's all I
need
to say.
Leclerc.
Rare to see Sidney take a slap shot and score like he did last night. But some news out of Boston. We already know Zdeno Chara is gone 4-6. Torrey Krug is gone 2-3 with a broken finger. So that defense that obviously was depleted when they had to make the deal with the Islanders and Johnny Boychuk. Now Chara, Boychuk, and Krug out of the lineup from mid-training camp.
And questions about Anisimov in Columbus as to what his situation is.
What did you think of the hit?
I didn't really like it. But, I mean, they're falling. And Jeff Rimmer, I mean, he's whining nonstop about the injuries.
I didn't like it at all.
I'm okay with it.
They have like 9 guys out of the lineup
I'm okay with it. I don't think he made direct contact with it. The head.
It was it a forearm? I mean, I know in the league office they're really having some problems with it.
He got body. I think that the effect of the hit threw his helmet off. It wasn't because he hit him in the head. They got some tough decisions.
In the league office right now, they're really banging this one around because there's a pro-con situation here as to...
And Anisimov can't have his head up. The puck's right at his feet along the boards. It's more of a scrum and grab it comes over. Yeah. Did you...
You can always have your head up, Darren.
A bit of an eye rake. I won't call it a gouge, but Chris Neal got his fingers in last night on Jared Bull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bull in the penalty box just said, you know what? That happens. It happens. Is that enough to get Neal
out of the doghouse?
Yeah.
You know what? I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I'd like to see it again, but you know what? It's you know how I feel about eye gouging. I bit a guy
Neal
because
to
of it.
For Neal to apologize and then
I saw his reaction in the penalty box and he had the right reaction, right?
I thought it was big on Bull.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the situation.
He was trying to explain himself, was he not?
He was.
Chris
and,
Neal?
And I appreciate Bull there in that situation, not accelerating it and taking it Bull, to another level.
Bull, Chris Neal, Bull. I mean, Bull's his character guy, as you'll find. I mean, I love the
Chris
way
Neal's a pretty tough guy.
Both of them are.
I don't think he necessarily needs to go there. You know?
2 minutes to go. And we have Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey this evening. We have the Washington Capitals and Detroit Red Wings at 7:30. Special Hockey Central tease things off at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet tonight. And then you have the fact that the World Series is going on. That's on the full main Sportsnet regional channels. That's going to be a great one. You're a baseball fan.
Yeah, I like the emotion of Kansas City in Game 7. I think they've got this one.
You know what? As Greg Zahn said last night, it's not good for baseball to have these Cinderella teams win. He thinks San Francisco should win it. That's not good for.
He
I think
won
it's
with
great,
the Cinderella
so.
Team.
He did. So I'm thinking, did you miss your year with the Florida Marlins?
He's not a fan of Cinderella.
Exactly.
Who doesn't like Cinderella?
I hope Kansas City wins. But now the interesting pitching matchup tonight. You got a 39-year-old. They're caught a little here in the Game 7 matchup.
Everybody pitches tonight.
Yeah.
So that's on the Sportsnet regional channels, the four main channels, and on Sportsnet 1 tonight, Detroit, Washington, and then Nashville, Edmonton on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Pekka Rinne tonight against Ben Scrivens, and can Edmonton break through this hindrance of the Western Conference, this wall that stands before them? Lost the first 5, they've won the last 4, trying to get back to 500. Our appreciation goes out to Scott Niedermeyer and Mike Johnston for joining us today. We'll chat with you again tomorrow on Hockey Central at noon and preview another busy night as well as a 2-game night. Reflect on this. You were going to say something?
I'm anxious to see if the Leafs can carry this on as they move into Columbus with a beat-up Columbus team.
Chat with you
a bit
tonight
of a break
at 7 o'clock.